This is Between the Lines, WMUK's weekly look at books and writers. I'm Zinta Astars. According to the U.S. Bureau of Justice Statistics, more than 2.2 million adults are behind bars in federal and state prisons. In 2013, there were nearly 44,000 people locked up in Michigan. The United States has the largest prison population in the world, and our recidivism rate is around 70%. Shaka Sengor says that's another way of saying our prison system is failing 70% of the time. He served 19 years in Michigan prisons for second-degree murder. Sengor later wrote Righting My Wrongs, Life, Death, and Redemption in an American Prison. Today, he's not only a New York Times best-selling author, he's also working for criminal justice system reform.
Growing up in a drug culture, you know, I was around 13 or 14 when I first entered that culture, and I experienced every imaginable horror that comes with it. Childhood friend being murdered, being robbed at gunpoint, being beat nearly to death, and eventually at the age of 17, I was shot multiple times standing on the corner of my block. And what I didn't realize back then is that I was suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the things that we don't talk about enough in, you know, when it comes to what's happening in inner cities, and that played out in a very negative, traumatic way 16 months later when I got into a similar conflict as the one that I got shot in, and instead of being shot, I fired what turned out to be 4 fatal shots, tragically caused a man's death, devastating the family, actually devastating 2 families, and you know, leaving another void in our community. And I was subsequently sentenced to 17 to 40 years in prison.
That moment when you're taken into custody and you go through the hearing, the legal process, and your first moment of walking into prison, try to paint that scene for us. And considering the numbers of, what is it, 2 million in prison in this country, I have a feeling most of us don't talk about it if we know someone, if we have a friend or a family member, because it's not the thing that you're the most proud of.
Yeah, I think one of the things about the American prison system is very clandestine. Nobody really knows a lot about what goes on in there, largely because there haven't been that many people who've been able to articulate it in a way that brings people inside that world. And it's one of the reasons that I decided to write Righting My Wrongs. I really wanted to bring people as close to the experience as possible without them having to be arrested.
Yeah.
For me, walking into prison, you know, I was 19 going into a very volatile world. And the first day I was actually in the main prison, because you go through quarantine, first you're quarantined for like 30 to 60 days where they're kind of assessing which prison to send you to. Mm-hmm. So I was sent to Michigan Reformatory, which, you know, had the nickname of Gladiator School because of the high levels of violence inside. And that played out the first day I got in prison. You know, I watched the guy get stabbed extremely bad in a stairwell heading to the chow hall. And the way the other guys walked past him so casually basically marked for me in my mind that, you know, I was basically in the jungle.
Yeah.
And, you know, you have to adapt to the cold of that environment. And I mean, I grew up in the city of Detroit, so it wasn't that hard of a stretch because, you know, I grew up in the streets where it's very volatile and fights and, you know, shootouts and all these things occur. But there was just something really different about being housed in a prison with 1,500 angry young men who a lot didn't have anything to lose because most of them were serving life sentences or extremely long sentences. And so, you know, the violence between the men who were inside and amongst the officers was at an extremely high level back then.
This is Between the Lines on WMUK. I'm Zinta Astars. I'm speaking with Shaka Sengor. Books, writing, and especially 2 letters helped save his sanity and maybe his life when he was in prison.
Well, the letter I received from Nancy, I probably had about 5 or 6 years in. And she wrote me this letter, and I didn't know who Nancy was until I got the letter. And I began to read the letter, and she was explaining the devastation I had caused her family by tragically taking their loved one's life. And that was like one of the most emotionally jarring experiences of my life, because for the first time I was able to put a human face to what had occurred that night. And, you know, I realized that I had taken someone's husband, their father, their son, their beloved friend, and I didn't know how to process that. I wasn't emotionally mature enough at the time to fully process what that, you know, experience would mean for me until years later as I began to evolve and, you know, change the course of my life. And then the second letter I received was from my son, which was my oldest son. I now have a toddler now, but my oldest son, and he explained to me that his mother had told him why I was in prison. And he explained what he felt as a young man growing up without a father and knowing that his father was in prison. And that was just devastating to hear, you know, given the relationship I have with my own father and knowing how I look up to him. And knowing that my son was going to grow up looking at me as a monster, and I knew right then that I had to do everything in my power to really turn my life around.
So family connection is how important to somebody who's incarcerated?
I think family and friend connection is the most important because it's really the only thing that offers the glimmer of hope that's needed for, you know, a man or a woman to actually navigate themselves their way through those experiences. It's really sad that, you know, when I was in prison that, you know, I watched a lot of people abandon their loved ones, you know, and it's a hard thing to do. And sometimes it's out of shame. Sometimes it's out of fear of not knowing what to say. But I always encourage people that if you have a loved one, a friend, a family member, the smallest thing as a card or just a letter saying, you know, you made, you know, a poor decision that, you know, landed you in prison, but I'm here. I'm not going to give up on you. I'm not going to judge you.
Yeah.
For the rest of your life will hold you hostage to that moment. And I'm going to be here to support you and help you do whatever is necessary to turn your life around. Like, that means everything. And I try to, you know, as I do this work, I really try to encourage people to volunteer in their local jails and prisons, because ultimately these men and women are returning to our communities, and we have a choice what kind of men and women we want to return. And if we allow them to just be solely subjected to what's happening inside the prison and not have that human touch, not have human empathy and compassion, you know, we can't expect for them to come out here and adjust to society. It's just not realistic.
I'm Zinta A-Stars. You've been listening to WMUK's Between the Lines, our weekly look at books and writers. I've been speaking with Shaka Sengor. Visit WMUK.org to hear more about Sengor's ideas about prison reform and his work mentoring the children of prisoners. Sengor will read from his book, Righting My Wrongs, Life, Death, and Redemption in an American Prison, at BookBug in Kalamazoo on Friday, May 27 at 7 p.m. Join us every Tuesday at this time for Between the Lines. Thanks for listening.